You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
For our catch-up, I spoke to ex-Karen Chua about the annual inflation rate, National's recently launched agriculture policy, and the Independent Police Conduct Authority's review into the 2022 Parliament occupation. Here is that interview. Last week, we saw the consumer price index drop to 1.2%, leaving the annual inflation rate at 6.7%, which is lower than the Reserve Bank's expectations. But ACTA said Aotearoa's inflation rate shows wasteful government spending. Why?
Yeah, well, it just shows that, you know, for almost 2 years now, inflation is above the Reserve Bank's target. It's the fifth time in a row now that it's been more than double the maximum of the target of the Reserve Bank. So just because it's come down by that little bit, Kiwis are feeling the pinch. Kiwis are having to do what this government's not willing to do, and that is to rein in their spending. Government spending is still large, and it is fueling the cost of living crisis that we're going through right now. I mean, yes, it's good that it's going down, but it's still well above where we need it to be.
The government has cited extreme weather events like Cyclone Gabrielle as a factor that has contributed to inflated prices that are out of their control. Do you think this is a fair argument?
Yeah, I mean, this is inflation that can be quite complicated. You have the non-tradable inflation that's increasing, and then you have the tradable inflation that's going down. And at the moment, non-tradable inflation is going up. And that, you can't just keep blaming overseas factors now that inflation of tradables, things that can be bought and sold overseas, is easing. We're seeing that this is actually a problem in New Zealand now.
So ACT has said that the rest of the world is getting on top of inflation, yeah, while the New Zealand government is spending too much. But our annual inflation rate is below Australia, the UK and the OECD average of 8.8%. So why do you believe Aotearoa is worse off when it comes to inflation?
Well, I never said worse off right now. What I'm saying is, as a country, we are feeling the cost of living, and the government spending is adding to this cost of living crisis. We need to end the wasteful spending, you know, and we do have a plan for that. We have a policy out, ease the squeeze, and it's all about ending the wasteful spending, making the government do what they're asking the average New Zealander to do, and that is to stop wasteful spending. Tighten your belts. We need to spend on what our needs, not our wants, and get back to a comfortable space where New Zealanders can start to grow back the economy and do well. You know, this at the moment, first-time buyers are the ones that are struggling the most because of this cost of living crisis. You know, and since 2021, we're looking at an increase of about 50% on their payments on mortgages. That's a lot of money, and people are really suffering and struggling to find how they're going to pay their bills week to week. So the government needs to do exactly what New Zealanders are doing, tighten their belts.
Right. I'll clarify that statement was from ACT Party leader David Seymour from last Thursday. The Green Party has said that reducing government spending on essential public services would be a mistake at a time where crucial infrastructure across health, housing, education and the environment, as well as transport, they say need investment. So what investments do ACT deem wasteful?
Oh, look, there's a lot of wasteful spending going on, and I can give you an example around where we spent $50 million on planning for a bridge in Auckland, and nothing came of it. These are the kind of spends we're looking at. We're not looking at cutting spends to things that are important, like health, teachers, police and all those areas. We're looking at how government is actually spending money on consultants and areas like that where we can cut back. It does have an alternative budget that we have brought out, and we have found $16.3 billion that we could save over the next 2 years that would allow us to bring in a tax cut that will be around $9.3 billion in tax cuts over 2 years, which will help the average New Zealander by around $2,300 a year. And that's without cutting back on essential spends like hospitals and police and teachers.
I noticed that the Green Party launched a campaign to tax the super rich, the super wealthy, sorry, they have said. And they've said that this would support lower income families with increases in the cost of essentials. You've opposed this. In fact, you would call for tax cuts, like you've said. So why do you believe Aotearoa's super wealthy then pay an adequate amount of tax?
I don't actually understand how taxing the super, super wealthy, in the Greens' words, is actually helping the poor, unless the money we're receiving in tax actually goes to the right places, and that's currently not helping. So taxing the super rich and carrying on like we are is not actually going to make a difference to the people who are struggling.
I also wanted to talk to you about National's new agriculture policy. And both National and the Greens have called for residency pathways for RSE workers. Would ACT join this cross-party consensus?
Oh, look, proposals to create a pathway to residency for RSE workers need to be looked at. The employer work visa scheme needs a bit more detail, but our view would be to abolish the accredited employer work visa and make it easier for employers to get the temporary migrants they need. So, yep, we like what they're saying. The reality is that RSE workers typically only wish to come to New Zealand for a few picking seasons, and in general they're not looking for residency long term from what we can tell, but nevertheless if they wish to have that pathway to residency via the accreditor employer work visa scheme, that option is there. It's not through the RSE scheme, but it is available through the accredited employer work visa scheme, i.e. if you're a picker in that scheme. So we just want an easier system for everyone.
So you wouldn't support then specifically introducing better ways for increasing pathways to residency for RSE workers in particular?
Oh, look, there's a scheme already, the accredited employer work visa scheme, that a lot of these workers can go through that process anyway. It's tricky to get behind expanding the use of the RSE workers when that is already there. It just needs to be, it's there via the accredited worker employer work visa scheme. But we do agree it does need to be an easier system and it does need to be simplified a bit more.
National has called for doubling the number of RSE workers that Aotearoa allows into the country. Is this something you would support?
ACT's long called for an increase in the RSE cap. We support further increases, but the problem is it's not as simple as that. Raising the numbers doesn't necessarily mean that they will come here and that businesses will have the infrastructure to support them coming here. And the main problem I can see is probably housing. Where are they going to live? Where are we going to put them? But if the infrastructure is there to support them and an employer can support them in that way, then we really support further increases there.
Yes, it is. Comment on that infrastructure to bring up the opposition. The Greens have argued that increasing the number of workers under the RSE scheme without improving pay and housing conditions would leave them vulnerable to further exploitation. Is this something that would be a concern to you?
Yeah, well, that's what I've just said, right? We agree that employers should have the option to try and get them in here, but they must. We must make sure that the infrastructure is here to support them with that. And housing would be one in particular, making sure that when they do come here, that they aren't being exploited like that and we do have the services they need available. So it's not quite as easy as saying, let's double the numbers and bring them in here. We need to make sure we get that balance right.
And lastly, I wanted to talk to you about the Independent Police Conduct Authority's report on the 2022 Parliament occupation, which found that laws relating to trespass and arrest need to be reviewed. What do you think about this finding?
Oh, yeah, look, that's good. If that's the finding, then sure, we should really look into that. Apparently the laws weren't available to be used in the way that that Trevor Allard was trying to use them with the trespass notice. So, yeah, that's something that should be looked into. I mean, this whole thing is really sad in my eyes, and it should never have got to the point that it got to. But we got to the point in the country that with the division and the loss of social cohesion led to this protest, and I hate to ever see that happen again. And there were things that could have been done better that may have stopped it getting to that point. The vaccine mandates were very controversial. ACT was always talking about how the government should have allowed an alternative to the vaccination. Back in the 14th of November 2021, for example, we were saying that there should be an alternative. Regular testing should have been, we should have been able to do that. So I think this mandatory vaccination process did cause a lot of angst, did cause a lot of anxiety, and within people in their keeping their jobs and things like that, and livelihoods were changed, and we ended up what happened on the front lawns of Parliament, and I would hope that we would be able to do that better next time.
Your party leader David Seymour has like you have called the COVID-19 vaccine policy divisive, and blamed the government for the protest, citing the government having an irrational response. So do you believe that the government's response to COVID-19 and mandating vaccines as a public health measure, which was recommended by public health experts, was irrational?
Well, I think the way that it was implemented and the way it was done, they didn't bring the public with them. It was a very divisive issue. It's around medical issues, and when we started to see what was happening, the communication around that, and just listening to the concerns of the people, and actually offering that alternative, could have avoided the situation we had. People felt like they weren't being listened to, and people felt like they were being dictated to, and families were actually pulled apart by this, and the division was just unnecessary.
That was ACT's Karen Chaw speaking about annual inflation, agriculture, and the 2022 Parliament occupation.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chaw.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.